Book of 2 Samuel, the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 13. I wanted to come tonight to preach something that I wanted to see somebody jump and grab one of these chandeliers and swing from it. They do have a lowering device, I was told, to let you back down if you got one. But I know tonight that this is not what's going to get the job done as far as making you shout or jump around. But it's what the Lord laid on my heart. And I can only hope and pray that it'd be an encouragement to you tonight. Good to see Brother Lauren and Miss Cassie Stepp with us tonight. Zion Hill, good to see y'all tonight. Praise the Lord. A lot of other friends and loved ones that I see here. Praise God for each of you. I'm going to ask if you would stand tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 13. Very difficult scripture, very difficult passage. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. He said unto him, "Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" And Amnon said unto him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Jonadab said unto him, "Lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand." So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, "I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand." Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, "Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Have out all men from me." And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, "Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand." And Tamar took the cakes which she had made, and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, "Come lie with me, my sister." And she answered him, "Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her." Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, "Arise, be gone." And she said unto him, "There is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me." But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, "Put now this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her." And she had a garment of divers colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of divers colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went out crying. And Absalom her brother said unto her, "Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he hath forced his sister Tamar. And it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears and Baalhazor, which is beside Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold now, thy servant has sheep shears, Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant. And the king said to Absalom, Nay, my son, let us not all now go, lest we be chargeable unto thee. And he pressed him. Howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. Then said Absalom, If not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said unto him, Why should he go with thee? But Absalom pressed him. Then he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, Mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, when I say unto you, Smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have I not commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man got him upon his mule and fled. And it came to pass, while they were in the way, that tidings came to David, saying, Absalom hath slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left. Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. And Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, answered and said, Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. For by appointment of Absalom this hath been determined from the day that he hath forced his sister Tamar. Now therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, Behold, the king's sons come. As thy servant said, so it is. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made into the speaking, that behold, the king's sons came, and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also, and all his servants wept very sore. We've read a lot of verses tonight. What a tragic thing that Amnon hath committed with his half-sister Tamar. How terrible. I was listening to the news, and sometime back over in Iraq, the son of Saddam Hussein had arrested some man he thought was in opposition to him. And to try to take this man and break his will, he brought out two pictures, a picture each of one of his daughters, 11 years old, and a picture of his other daughter, 13 years old. Saddam Hussein's son was known as a rapist. And he said, Pick which daughter, which one of your daughters that I will rape. And the man naturally could not. So the man, Saddam Hussein's son, took both children, arrested them, brought them there to the palace, and raped both of them in front of their daddy. God help. I get to thinking about what in the world was going on in Amnon's mind. The Bible says in verse number 3, I believe Amnon wouldn't have went through with it but for this one fact in verse number 3. But Amnon had a friend. That's what I want to preach on tonight. What kind of friend do you have? Father, tonight I pray, God, that you would help me to stand and preach with an unction from the Holy Spirit. Lord, I realize this will not work at all. There will nothing happen in this place without your power, your presence, and your voice tonight. Lord, I pray, God, you would set our minds upon the Word of God and help us tonight that we might hear from heaven. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated tonight. Amnon had a friend. Now the Bible says that Jonadab, he was a very subtle man in verse 3, meaning he was crafty. He was a very cunning man. And he was just the type of fella that most people would love to have as a friend. Somebody that's kind of a jack of all trades and good with words and can bail you out of a jam. Someone that'd be there as your support system. Jonadab would have seemed like a pretty good fella to have around. But I want you to know Amnon here, he's not innocent, is he? I get a thing about Amnon, how he had perverted feelings for his half-sister. And I don't think he'd have acted him out had he not got a little bit of advice from his friend. Do you? I mean, I get to thinking about there are some restraints that Amnon had. Some restraints. Now, it'd be amazing tonight what you or I may do if we knew we wouldn't get caught. The bank would be a little poorer, wouldn't it? I'll tell you what, my wife, she's so precious. She went somewhere and she bought something, and she got home and realized they had gave her too much change. And she spent more gas money going back across town to give them their money back than what it was their mistake was. She wanted to be so right about that, not to have to sit in this church and feel under conviction to feel like she'd stole or taken from somebody. She's the type of person that she always wants to do the right thing and try to advise you in the right mannerism. But everybody ain't that way. Preacher, you can't say ain't. I just did. Everybody ain't that way. What do you think Amnon's restraints would have been? I mean, what kept him from acting out his feelings earlier? Well, I think, first of all, his reputation. That's one thing that really holds a lot of you back, right? Your reputation. You'd do some pretty bad stuff if it wasn't for your reputation. After all, Amnon is the king's son. He is highly honored. He is highly favored. He is someone that amongst all of Israel that they would look to. He was a man of honor and a man of valor. The deacons ought to be men of honor. The deacons ought to be men of valor, I believe. Men that are trustworthy. I believe Amnon was that kind of fella. He was well respected and looked up to in his community. And I think because of his reputation that his daddy had and because of what his family had and what Israel was, I think right there that held him back for a while on acting this thing out. And then I got to thinking about, it may have restrained him about how he reverenced God. You know, he realized according to the law, the Word of God, that to do such a thing would be sin against God. And he'd been taught as of a little child up to this point not to sin against God. Yet we know we all sin each and every day, but we shouldn't sin willfully. But we do. My friend, he became vexed. He was a man that knew what God's Word said about sin. Tonight, pastor of the church knows what God's Word says about sin. We know that He'll never leave us or forsake us. And everywhere we go, He is with us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Yet for some reason, we act out our sins anyway. Wait a minute, preacher. You're talking about Amnon here that has went and raped his half-sister. I've done nothing in like manner. Sin is sin in God's eyes. It's all the same. Now, I believe he reverenced God and knew what God had to say about it. And I think also he was a man of right conscience. He couldn't live with himself to carry out such a thing. And he wanted to be known as the type fellow to treat people right. And all he did was lay around and think about her. And the Bible says that he loved her. In verse 4 it says, I love Tamar is what he said. But really it wasn't love. It was lust for his half-sister. And there he laid on his bed and he wasn't able to eat. And finally his buddy Jonadab comes over. And Jonadab says, well, what's wrong with you, Amnon? Why do you lay in such a place? Why is there leanness of your teeth? You're the king's son. You're highly honored. Don't you know you're a man of reputation? Don't you realize you're one of God's people? Who are you to lay around and act such? He said, but I love Tamar. And I can't have Tamar. And Jonadab, being a man that was very subtle, very cunning and crafty, gave him bad advice and wrong, deceitful, sinful counsel. And it was really the excuse that Amnon was looking for. Tonight all over America there are folks that in your homes you are going through depression and despondency and you go and you see counselors and that's all wonderful and good. But if you don't get a godly counselor, they may send you out to do the wrong thing. In fact, if you're not careful, the very support system that you call friends of yours that surround you, if you're not careful, you'll start whining and moaning about something you're wanting to do, and they'll begin to paint you a rosy picture to tell you, oh, go ahead, it'll be all right. God will overlook it. You're the king's son. Nobody will even know you've done this thing and give you bad advice. I'm telling you, with just a few words, Jonadab gave Amnon a plan, and Jonadab took all the restraints that Amnon had away. What a friend. I'm telling you that, I'm speaking tonight to young people. I realize there's some older folks here tonight. God bless y'all. I'm specifically talking to young people. You make sure and choose your friends wisely. What you think is a friend may not really be a friend. You be careful. Well, we realize what Amnon did. Every one of us, when we read the Scripture, cringed. We knew what he had done was wrong in the sight of God and in the sight of the people, to his family. What corruption? What are the results of sin? You realize when you and I sin, being a saved people, it causes hurt to the very name of God. Look at the way he acts, and he says he's a preacher. Sit up in the youth class and ask the young people, had about 20 of them in the youth class, and we were talking about faith. Without works is dead, being alone. And I can stand up and preach about faith all day long. But what if they drove up one Saturday night and saw me having a Budweiser outside the church there? Just one little drink. Would they want to hear me preach? Quickly, one of them turned around and said, absolutely not. Thank you for that. I have a reputation and a testimony that I've got to work hard to uphold. And I'm telling you what, friend, if you're not careful and you get around the wrong bunch, you'll get off in trouble. You may say, I'll get with them and I'll pick them up. Oh no, they'll bring you down. Well, you say, well, Jesus was always out amongst the sinners. Yeah, but they ain't going to bring him down. More than likely, I'll get enticed and fall off into some sin myself. What are the results of sin? Well, what about Tamar? Can you imagine what that little 11 and 13-year-old girl must have felt like? That ungodly man, I said ungodly man, doing that to her. Every day this stuff goes on. What kind of pain, violence? Oh, I can't imagine what it'd be like to have to go through such a place. Think about Tamar. Think about the results of sin that Amnon committed, what it did to Tamar. Think about the pains and the shame she probably felt. She had kept herself being a virgin, to be a virtuous woman, one day to present herself to her husband. And yet, she was forced by her half-brother. You realize, according to my study, I can never find, Pastor, where that young lady ever fell in love. She stayed at her brother Absalom's house, but I can't read if she ever fell in love with anybody else again. It wrecked her world. I studied and found out that she never got married. She never had a family of her own. A lot of you young ladies, you desire one day to have a husband and have a family of your own, to fall in love and to feel the wonderful feeling of falling in love. And Tamar, according to what I can find out, she never did. Because of Amnon's sin, not hers, because of Amnon's sin, she's forever scarred. Why? Because Amnon had a friend and he listened to him. What about Absalom? He was the brother of Tamar. It was his sister that had been raped. I want you to know he found that thing out and he became a very bitter man. For 2 full years, this thing came up before his daddy David, and David was very wroth, but he did nothing about it. I'm going to tell you what now. I'm going to talk to some of you older folks. I'm telling you what, there's times when the youngins need their hides tanned. I'm telling you what, if you'll love them, amen, you will wear them out when it's time, when it's appropriate. When they have done wrong, you'll lay down the law to them. Boy, my daddy did for me and my mama too. There'd be times my mama would whip me, and the time for what I'd done wrong, and by the time I got home, she'd tell dad about it, and he'd whip me too. And I learned not to do that stuff. And he would say to me, oh son, how I love you. I wish he'd loved the neighbor's kids half as much as he'd loved me.
You see, the Bible says, whom God loveth, what? He chastens who He loves. That's how we know we're one of His. But old David, he was mad about it. He was very ill. He was very wroth. He was upset at Amnon for doing such a thing. But what did he do about it? I'm telling you what, nowadays in our churches, we just allow things to go on. Listen, this is not growth, Pastor, at any cost. I'd love to see Fletcher First Baptist grow. I'd love to see Bethel Missionary Baptist Church grow. But there's a lot of churches that I studied it out. They're at growth at any cost. Let anything go. Let anything happen. Preach any doctrine. Preach any Bible. Sing any song. Dress any way you want to. Hey, this is God's house and a sanctuary, amen. And we have some young people, amen, that we need to raise up and train up how to serve God. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit will lift up a standard. And it's high time as men of God and women and men of God that are sitting in this church that we lifted up the standard when the enemy comes in like a flood. I'm not talking about getting up and rebuke openly and trying to hurt people coldly and callously. I'm talking about preaching the truth in love, that which should help somebody. David, a man after God's own heart, but when his family got in trouble, he just backed away and let just whatever happened, happen. Absalom watching this thing for 2 years. Amnon smiling away like he had got away with it. Absalom for 2 years watched his half-brother Amnon smiling and would come home and see his sister crying each and every day. And his heart became very heavy, very burdened, and very bitter to the very point that he began to plot away to kill his own half-brother. Now don't look at me like that. Hey, some of you in this church, you've got some hurt, pet feeling against somebody. You've been plotting against them too. You've been worried about what this group does or what this Sunday school class does or who gets to sing this and who gets to do that. Let me tell you what, get over that junk. The only reason you are here is to serve Jesus Christ and Him only. That's the only thing that matters. Don't look at what everybody else does. Just look to Jesus and what He's done, what He's doing, and what He's going to do. That's all you and I need to do. But Absalom became a very bitter man. I'm telling you what, if you ain't careful, that little thing that's hurt your feelings, you'll begin to think on it. You'll begin to dwell on it. The next thing you know, you begin to plot, and you'll find the right people around that'll agree with you. You know, hey, let me tell you how I feel. Well, I don't think you ought to feel that way, but you'll find somebody that'll say it's okay. That'll become your new best friends. Then a alliance inside the church begins to develop and a clique rises up. Preacher, what are you? I'm preaching to my people, amen. And I'm telling you what, let's go to Clique Busting 101 and just preach the Word of God. We're only there to serve Him and Him alone. I'm not here about individual groups and pet feelings, amen. But Absalom became very bitter. Tonight I want to tell you something. If you're here and some little something's happened, well, preacher, for Absalom, it was the rape of his half-sister. That's not some little petty something. But there may be some little petty something tonight that's rubbed you raw. Boy, I'm telling you what, you really can't worship like you used to. Man, you used to hit this altar and have communion with God, but it's gone. You're more concerned about what's going on, serving God and being burdened for the growth of the church. Do you know why that's happened? Because the devil is very subtle. And he comes and plants and thwarts and works in good people's minds. I want to tell you what, Absalom became so bitter. He plotted a plan, came to his dad, and Amnon thought, well, Absalom's a pretty good guy. He's let me by with this. He understands I'm the king's son. I can do anything. You know, there's some people thinks they're above the law. They can do anything they want to do, and nobody will find out. And finally, he went and killed. Had his half-brother Amnon killed for what he'd done. I get to think about what sin did to Amnon. You realize because of his sin, he hated her the very moment he forced her. He began to hate her more than he ever loved her. That's how we know it wasn't real love. He hated her, threw her out, locked the door behind her, don't come back. I'm telling you what, guilt haunted his mind. And he became a man filled with hatred, a man filled with complete and utter violence. Hear me, he was a man that was an heir to the throne. He had a great future ahead of him.
But Amnon had a friend whom he listened to.
What did this do to the testimony for God?
They began to blaspheme the name of God, hurting the family name that God, the God they served. Now look at them, murdering and raping and killing each other and plotting against each other. What kind of testimony has this church got out in the world in Fletcher? What kind of testimony does Bethel have in Spruce Pine? I mean, when people talk about Bethel, they talk about, well, I can tell you about this happened, and I can tell you about that happened. Boy, we all talk about, boy, people's being saved and people serving God. We're wanting to grow and launch out. I wonder what's being said about our church in the community. I'm going to say this. If that don't concern you, you're in bad shape. Because at all costs, I don't want to do anything that would cause someone to blaspheme the name of God or God's blessings on the church because of my petty feelings. That was the results of sin. Now I wonder, were there any regrets that Amnon had for choosing the wrong friends? Were there regrets? Well, I'm sure after he was killed, he had regrets. If he never got saved, he went to hell. And I'm sure he's got plenty of regrets. You better be careful what friends you choose. You may regret your choice of them. Preacher, what do you mean? Well, I can remember. There was a young lady. She decided that she got a crush on a young man. He was a star fullback for the football team. Now, he was known to drink some. And she was known to sing in the choir and be a very virtuous young lady. But boy, she sure had a crush on him. She watched him and made every excuse she could to get on the same street he was on or in the same hallway he was in school. Until finally that crush became known to him and he asked her out. And they were going to go to the prom together. Oh, and she was thrilled. She was dating a big star, someone she had a great crush upon. She told all her friends, I'm going with Eddie, I'm going with Eddie. Oh man, and all her friends were even excited. Ooh, Eddie, oh how great. But Eddie decided that night before the prom that he would tie one on and get drunk. And he picked her up, drunk. Her mom and daddy said, you ain't going. I am not allowing you to go with the likes of Eddie. And she began to cry and beg and plead, and that daughter's tears touched that mom and daddy's heart. And against their better judgment, and I'm sure every one of us has done that at some point in time, against their better judgment, they allowed her to go to the prom, but not to ride with him because he was drunk. They would take him. And they left, or take her, and they left her there. But you know what happened at the prom? She got with Eddie. And in a moment's notice, she got in the car coming home. Instead of waiting on Mom and Dad to come get her at 11:30, she left at 11:15 with Eddie. Eddie was even more blitzed than he ever was before. He seen the bridge coming up around that turn. He's flying that Mustang. Man, I'm telling you what, he had really gripped to the tires had gripped to the road. But he's going a little too fast. He wasn't seeing things just right. And he went head on into the column of the bridge. Threw her right through the windshield. Killed her instantly. Naturally, Eddie just got a few scratches on him for some reason. And now Mom and Dad are faced with their daughter's dead. A virtuous girl, pastor, she sang in the choir. She could probably stood up here and gave one of these speeches tonight, fit right in with the group. You'd have been blessed and delighted. One of the most talented, honored, revered young ladies and their family in the community. But she had a friend. And it cost her life. I can take you to another young lady who graduated with a 4.0 from high school, went on to college with a 4.0 from college, got a job with NASA, and under great scrutinizing pressure decided that she would just smoke a joint or two. You know, just to kind of relax her. Well, everybody does it to kind of chill out and relax. And she'd come from a church-going family, and she went out and smoked that dope that night. Smoked more than she should have. It blew her brain. And tonight, she's in a little white suit that wraps around her little jacket, holding there, wondering, what's the meaning of life about? Why am I here? What's happened to me? Who are these people that
They say they're my family. You know why all that happened to her? Because she had a friend that told her that taking the joint would be a good thing to relax her and knock the edge off. I'm telling you, in my lifetime, I've run across a lot of so-called friends. And wanted to give me alcohol or wanted to give me some smoke off an end of some kind of joint or dope. And I'm telling you what, if you ain't careful, you'll find some kind of friend. You might not be doing drugs. Or you might not be drinking. But you know what it might be? It might be that you found the right person to gossip with. You're that person you can talk to. Well, we rely on each other. You don't know what they're telling. I'm telling you what, you better be careful. You realize tonight what you play with? You play with your testimony, which is the salvation that God has given you. And it can easily ruin a church. I wonder tonight if that young lady with NASA has regrets. I'm sure she does. I wonder if that family, that mom, that dad, I wonder if that young lady who was killed, I wonder if they have regrets tonight. I wonder if Eddie has regrets who drove her into that bridge headlong. I wonder. Preacher, tonight you've told me the strengths that Amnon had and he's jumped them. You told me tonight about the results of sin. Preacher, I see that. You told me about the regrets of choosing a wrong friend. Can you tell me last of all as I close the remedy? There's a remedy. What a friend we have in Jesus. I'm so glad that he came looking for me. Just a young man there, highly influenced. And one day he came and he found me there. And he's been the best friend I've ever had. He's never told me wrong. He's never done anything that would hurt me. He's just been there to help me. I think about the book of John chapter 4, that woman who came down there to the well. She'd had five husbands, shacked up there with number 6. And she walked up to the well and there sits another man named Jesus sitting on the well. And he began to speak to her and said, you know, this water that you're wanting to drink of, why, you're going to thirst again if you drink of this water. But if you drink of the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst again. Oh, what a friend was that, amen. He was a friend that stood there. He loveth at all times. He stood there when she was yet in her sins with five husbands, shacked up with number 6. He was still her friend. He's still giving her right advice. He's still trying to help her. He stood right there in her face and confronted her and dealt with her sin in a loving manner. Now I'm telling you what, by the time he got done, she said, well, we're looking for Messiah. He said, I that speak unto thee am he. My Bible says she left her water pot and she went out into the city there and she said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Hey, y'all, she's trying to say, come meet a friend that's been like no other, one that loves you no matter what. Watch that religious crowd there in the book of John. Take a woman and they've been caught in the act of adultery. And bring her into the outer court there of the temple. And throw her down there before Jesus and said, she was taken in adultery in the very act. The law says we should stone her. What do you say? Jesus bowed down there, writing with his finger, just simply looked up and said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. He was a friend. He was a friend. A friend won't throw a rock, amen. He got back down and began to write down. I'm telling you what, little by little they all dropped their rocks and went the other way. And he said, woman, why are not accusers? She said, none, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. A friend will forgive you, amen, no matter what. I'm telling you what, in the church nowadays, little petty things that rub each other raw. And our problem is, we won't forgive each other. Well, they ought to ask for forgiveness before No. Jesus forgave me. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Way before I ever sinned. Way before I ever said I'm sorry. He loved me. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man would lay his life down for his friends. I want to ask you tonight, who is it you call friend? Who is it you've been associating with, running with, gossiping with, talking with? Hey, what kind of friend are you? Not just what kind of friends do you have, what kind of friend are you? Would you be careful not to cause someone to trip up and be a stumbling block to them? Give them bad advice and laugh? Oh yeah, there's people like that. You better be the right kind of a friend to others. Tell you what, young people, you better make sure the friends you associate yourself with are the right kind of people. You better be the right kind of friend to others. And I'm telling you what, mom and dads, you've got some friends as well. You better check your associations. But if nothing else, you ought to, I'm telling you, you ought to get concerned. This whole church ought to get concerned for your young people. That old devil's out there. Jonadab is out there. He's very subtle. He can appear as the angel of light and deceive our youth and deceive the very elect. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, he would deceive. I'm telling you, the only remedy you'll ever need is Jesus. You stand with me. Miss Pam, if you'd come play on the piano softly, whatever the Lord lays on your heart,